John Tarmida with us. Hey, John, what in it?
Yeah, kia ora, mate.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, John. Obviously, the disappointments of Te Aka Whai Ora and the entitlement of a Prime Minister who's backtracked now, but you know, is he to get caught here? Was that a misstep by a newbie or something more contrived?
No, I think it is right and buried in the DNA there of privilege and entitlement. And I get it for say a school teacher going to Parliament. I get it for, but you know, you've got to place this thing in perspective. Like, if you've got seven houses, you're living in your own apartment. It's freehold, and you're charging the taxpayer for the privilege of living in your own place, right? No, that is an issue, a live issue. And that's why I think he took good advice and has acknowledged that it was the wrong thing to do, because clearly he's not going to pick it up again. He's paying back some of it, right? So you've got to place it in perspective. It's just standard for folk of that ilk that are privileged and entitled.
Tēnā koe, John. Obviously, last week was a disappointing week. We saw the formalisation of the government's intentions to scrap Te Aka Whai Ora, but it did bring a concerted body of political muscle from the left and combining in a way that might be useful going forward. Obviously, you're not going to agree on other matters, but this time around, for the most part, the Greens, Te Pāti Māori and Labour did. What signals should we take from that?
Well, look, I think we've got to unpack this nonsense about the left and the right, and Māori cannot be caught as a meat in that sandwich. Okay, so on one side of the argument, for example, you've got people arguing that they'll vote more to Māori, but we have to be protected from ourselves because their bureaucrats have to control everything. And on the other side of it, the policy setting looks okay, but there's never any resourcing for it. And so when you talk left and right, Māori are always left, right, out. And it's an old form of political identification. So what we say in Te Pāti Māori is that, we're neither left nor right, but we'll do what is tika, what is right, regardless of whether it's seen to be old school left, old school right, and all those silly things that other communities can talk about for themselves, but can no longer define us. We have to start to define ourselves. And what happened last week in Parliament allows us to continue down that journey where others have determined we're not worthy of self-management, but so they'll take away Te Aka Whai Ora. And it goes on and on with all the other issues from smoke-free laws cessation, and so on and so forth. So we shouldn't buy into a narrative that we're not designing. And Mana Motuhake is about self-expression, without anyone else predetermining for you that narrative. And I just think we're in a very special place, and we're now able to have conversations amongst ourselves without even worrying or thinking about what others do, because they're going to have to deal with us sooner or later, and it's a matter of when, not if, right?
Tēnā koe, John. I know that you studied at Auckland Uni, although that was some time ago, but I spoke with Māori Abāzi earlier today, and it's to do with just 1% of politics education is focused on the Māori dimension, new research has found. I wonder what you think of academic politics study that fails to identify Māori politics as, or prioritise it.
Well, that's not surprising, is it? Because the whole of the tertiary education system is designed by Parkers, for Parkers, to Parkers. It's a bit like the schooling system, right? Yeah, it's a bit like the schooling system. The schooling system says that if Māori boys from 11 to 16 suspended and expelled more. Why is that? And all their answer comes back is, oh, it's because they're not, and they've got to be, more like the white boys at school. Now, that's not the answer. The answer is, well, you've got an education system fully funded to meet these Māori boys' requirements, and your answer is, well, they've got to be more white. That's not the answer. The answer is the education system has to deliver in regard to things and ways in which those boys are engaged rather than suspended and expelled. So I'm just using that as a clear case study and example of the way in which our people are treated. And so it's unsurprising that all the education system has been designed not by us, for us or to us, but for somebody else. And we just have to get our voice heard, or, as usual, we just have to go and do our own thing. So the problem we have is then if you're not... See, I went to the universities and I tried to be a nice white brown man, right? But I just couldn't make the cut because they were always... I always couldn't do what they wanted me to do in the way they wanted me to do it. So you know what? Now I just want to be a good Māori. I don't want to be a good white brown person, right? I just want to be a good Māori. So what we all have to concentrate on is just being good Māori people, doing good things by our families and our mokopunas and all the rest of it, and everything will come right without being judged, regulated, put down, our money taken, misspent in the education or elsewhere.
Sound advice too, John. Each of us should try exactly to be just that each and every day, all of us. Just be a good Māori, and you'll get we'll head down the right path. Hey, with the demise of Takawhai, I'm just wondering what sort of pressure that's going to put on an organisation like the one you oversee, like Waipareira. How's this going to impact your frontline services as people who were... may have been drawn into the mahi of Takawhai Order, revert back to what is available in their communities, i.e. Waipareira. What sort of pressure does this put onto your organisation, John?
Well, it brings... this whole government, what it's doing to Māori, is emboldening, enriching, and revving up the licence to take the stick to us. You know, and so people will be more overt about their racism in the Ministry of Health in Te Whatu Ora. And they'll do that because they've been licensed to take the stick to the Apiri natives. You've got too far from your treaty rights to your self-management. And when Pākehā self-manage, it's great. Innovation, initiative, shows, you know, all these great competences. Māori try to self-manage. Oh, no, you're being a separatist. You've got to come under us. It's reverse separatism. It's reverse apartheid, if you like it. And so as long as we unpack the intellectual rigour of it and unpack their processes and provide our own alternatives, we'll win in the end of the day. We're going to go through a very bumpy space with this mob, and it's going to be very difficult. But it's not the first time we've been here.
Yeah, tēnā koe, John. Thanks. What about the gangs and removing patches? I've been reading a lot of opinion pieces saying that it's just political showmanship. The reality is, what are they going to stop people in the street, remove them, and then fine them 5,000? Most of the blokes haven't got anywhere near that. So we're clogging up the system once again. What do you make of this gang patch ban political rhetoric?
Well, the first 100 days of this government is about taking us backward. Remember, they campaigned on taking us back, you know, claim it back, and they're doing that, okay? And so if you look at the law, it comes into freedom of association, right? And so we all wear patches. Even Rich Parkers do, that play for Grammar Old Boys or whatever. they're all tooled up in their track suits and their suits and whatever else, and they wear a different type of uniform. But when they coalesce, here's the other side of it. The biggest fraudsters, forgerers, and thieves in this country are white-collar criminals that never get caught because they're never policed. So if you over-police the underprivileged, And under police, the overprivileged, guess who's going to jail? The underprivileged. The overprivileged, everyone looks the other way, and just because they're stealing money in billions of dollars per annum through tax evasion, tax avoidance, and all the rest of it, they're clever crooks, so they can get away with it. There's the dumb crooks that you've got to go after, and the dumb crooks wear a bullseye on their back because of their patch, right? And it's as simple and as brutal and as ugly as that. One mob are allowed freedom of association to get up to criminal injustice. Another mob that's more honest and overt lock them up because of who they mix with. Crazy to me.
Crazy to me. Good catching up with you, John. Thanks very much. Have a good week. Anything else you want to add, mate, before we wrap up?
No. We just have to organise our families and listen to our own truths and don't allow our world to be shaped by others' narratives of us. And the more we can, the biggest thing about colonisation is the colonisation of your heart, mind and soul. And if we can detach from that, and the way in which we've been regulated and brainwashed and all that sort of stuff, and just listen to our own truth. At least on this radio channel, you'll get a different range of truths and you can make your own mind up. On other bureaus and other places, it's clearly filtered to come to one conclusion. The Hoories are naughty and have to be kept in place by nice white folk like us. Simple as that. Okay. You have a good week, mate.
You too. Right. Thanks, John.